Oh, so much talking about Obamacare. It's so nice to have an expert on to join me to talk about this. And that expert is Ovik Roy. He is a columnist for Forbes and a scholar at the Manhattan Institute. Ovik, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm so glad people like you are out there. I used to be a health policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation back 2003. 2004.
Oh, really?
And I'm so glad.
I was just having lunch with Ed Haselmeyer. We're both in Iowa for a symposium.
Nice.
He's about to go on stage in 20 minutes.
Ed is very fluent in wonk, as I assume you are. But no, tell Ed I said hello. He's worked with Ed for many years, back when he was a consultant there. Anyway, you have a piece today up on Forbes that I found very interesting, because we hear all the problems with Obamacare implementation and the various exemptions that are given out and the magic wand waving of we'll postpone this and we won't enforce that. And one of the biggest concerns that is under-addressed thus far are the privacy concerns, that we are going to be giving many, many government agencies access to all kinds of private information about us, information that could easily be used for identity theft and much more nefarious purposes in much smaller cases. But tell a little bit about some of the problems, what the government is supposed to do to protect our information, like Social Security and all that sort of stuff, and the problems they're having implementing that.
Yeah, so there are two key laws in this area. One was passed in 1974. It's called the Privacy Act. And there was another that was passed in 2002, which has a longer name, and it's meant for more computer-oriented records. And the idea is that if you give your personal information to the government is supposed to not only maintain your privacy, meaning not share that information with anyone,
mm-hmm.
but also the computer systems they use to store that information have to be sufficiently secure that hackers can't break in and do things like, you know, steal your identity, do identity theft, steal your, you know, personal financial information, your social security numbers, things like that. And unfortunately, the Obamacare exchanges don't meet those standards yet. They're months behind in setting up the computer systems in order to make sure that they're hacker-proof and don't leak your private information. And it appears that the Obama administration is going to go forward and launch these exchanges on October 1st, knowing that the privacy protections aren't up to snuff, which is going to be pretty dangerous for a lot of people who try to sign up early for health insurance on the exchanges.
And absolutely, I mean, to sign up for these things, you have to give, basically, if you were an identity thief, you would say, this is the information I want. And it's fairly close to dovetailing nicely with what you have to give in order to get into these exchanges. So it's ready-made for identity theft.
Yeah, you have to give, obviously, not only your address, your social security number, all that stuff. You also have to explain whether you're employed, whether your employer offered you health insurance, what your income is, whether you suffer from any sort of mental or other health condition. There's tons of stuff in the application that you have to fill out that's pretty sensitive information. And all of a sudden, we're finding out that this has been a problem. And Michael Astru, who was a Social Security Administrator or Commissioner under President Obama's first term, wrote two absolutely scathing articles about this for the Weekly Standard. So I wrote my blog post on it for Forbes, and you know, I cited a number of the things he wrote about as well, because he says this is the most egregious violation of the 1974 Privacy Act that has ever been imposed on Americans. You know, that's pretty strong language.
It's frightening that they're going to have this much information. They're going to need it every year, and what are they going to do with it? And we've already seen the IRS sort of sending out information they weren't supposed to people who weren't supposed to have it. But you write in this piece that CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, they estimated that just to test this security systems that they're putting in place, that they're building, would take about 51 days. And you write about how they're going to end up with about 10 days to do it, to test it. There's no way they could verify that it works well, not even perfectly, but well in 10 days. But they're going to plow ahead regardless. Is there any push up on Capitol Hill or any awareness of this? I mean, it seems like so many members are oblivious to the inner workings of this monster.
Well, there's a congressman from Tennessee named Diane Black, or congresswoman, I should say, who's been pushing on these issues. And in fact, there's a larger movement in general now to say, let's just delay the exchanges, and particularly the subsidies that are associated with the exchanges, for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, whatever you think about Obamacare's wisdom or not, whether you're Democrat or Republican, you should want this program to work without fraud, You should want this program to work without people's identities being stolen. You should want this program to work without people's private information being stolen. And the best way to ensure that all those things will happen the right way is to delay the law for a year. And so I think there's people coalescing around that idea as a way to ensure that these problems don't get worse.
Another one of my old bosses and friends, Grover Norquist, sent a coalition letter up to the Hill basically saying, let's delay the whole thing for a year. Now, we've seen a pushback on even when the Republicans in the House, along with 22 Democrats, tried to make legal what the president already did, to authorize the president to postpone the employer mandate for 1 year. The White House said they would veto that. So is there any appetite in the Senate and in the White House for maybe saying, okay, we're going to pump the brakes on this for a year because we need to make sure that it's getting, forget the partisanship, we need to make sure that this is going to be right. Because if this starts off wrong, it would really do some serious damage to the economy and to the American people.
Well, I think there's tons of appetite among Republicans to push back this law by a year. But the key to making sure that this can actually work is for there to be a grassroots effort to convince red state Democrats to support it, too. So you've got plenty of Democrats running in conservative states, conservative districts, running for re-election next year, and the pressure should be on them to say, what, you know, the voters in those states should say, what, you're going to support this law going forward, even though all these problems are going on? Push for a delay for 1 year. And I think Democrats is a kind of a face-saving thing to do. Just say, look, I'm not opposed to Obamacare. I just want to delay it for a year until these things go right. I think you could pick off some conservative Democrats if you pushed hard enough to get support for this.
But then, you know, Harry Reid would never give it a vote in the Senate. He's too invested to it. There are very few people, him being one of them, who are so married to this, so interwoven into it, and the promises have been so large and thus far undelivered, that to kick the entire thing down the road would be devastating to them politically. I don't think they're going to do it. I hope they do. But
I think you're right. Your point's taken. It's a long shot, but it's an opportunity for Republicans to stand up for responsible government that is against fraud and against your private information being stolen. If Democrats want to prevent that from getting to the floor, then they can be responsible for that.
Right. Republicans almost have to do it, have to push for this and have votes in the House because we're seeing this year in the last 3 months the exposure of how much of our personal information is already out there, how much of our daily lives is being collected like stamps or baseball cards by the federal government, and to know that we're going to have to give them several missing pieces, some very important missing pieces, and that's not secure is going to be frightening. Ovik, where can people find your work? Tell us where they can find you, because you've been doing some of the best work on this Obamacare mess thus far.
Well, you're very kind. If you want to find my Forbes blog on that covers a lot of these issues, just Google Forbes and my name. The first name is spelled A-V-I-K, and my last name is Roy, R-O-Y. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at Twitter at @AVIK.